going to dance for you. It is what it is. Good evening. Welcome back. Hi, Lauren. Hello to you at home. We're very happy that you're here. We don't know why we're here, but good news is we're almost not here anymore. So sounds terrible. We'll be on the road soon. We'll explain it all tonight. Good news. This pretty lady is here. She's doing great in the chair. We've got you on Instagram. We've got Canada Mike in the house. What's happening, pal?
Well, what's happening right now is they're telling me they can't buy badges on the Instagram. But other than that, I'm just happy to be here and happy to see you guys.
Uh-oh. I wonder if there's anything I can do about that. Probably not.
I don't know how any of
this. I feel like a cat depositing a bird at your doorstep. I apologize.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I wish I could do something about it. I wish I knew how to... Here, I'll turn some cameras on for one. Hello.
Hey.
Usually we'd have Will start it about now and go something like this.
Oh, that's so not delicious. It. That's
not it. I suffer from anxiety and...
The light. Good evening. Welcome back, everybody. We didn't do anything. What's Will say? He says this. And then we do a whole thing. Sounds like this. We do the bubbles. And we're done. All right. Ta-da. Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, June... No, I didn't do a card. It used to be June... 8th, last time I was here. We didn't do a card tonight. That's how little we have for you.
It's the 13th, Jay.
June 13th, Tuesday, June 13th. Good evening. If you couldn't tell by leisurely attire here, I just got back into the studio from work. I'm filthy from car stuff all day. Thank goodness it's not smell-o-vision. Can you imagine? All right, let's see. Make sure we've got comments on here. There we go, in case Irene pops in. Although you probably know this, Irene is off to Greece.
Irene is in Greece right now. So, yes, she will be doing very little when it comes to interactive things online. Her Wi-Fi is spotty.
She said she catches up later, but something about the internet, something about it. She can't do the live as well or something. Or maybe it's the time difference. I don't know what it was. But there was a reason. We miss you, Irene. I don't have a blue card. What are we talking about? All right, so we got nothing. What's less than nothing? That's what we have. And as you saw in the blurb, that's all we're promising. So there will be no refunds this evening. Thursday, June 13th, we thought we'd be gone and on the road back in May. We thought we'd be back in town on June 10th. We thought we'd arrive back on the 10th for the anniversary party and then go to Pekla on the 11th. And that was the plan. You all heard it. There were going to be a lot of stops along the way. There was going to be, it was going to be a good time had by all for sure. And it still will be in the future, but none of the plans we had made were able to be kept because a lot of them were time sensitive. We'll still stop in a lot of the places. But long story short, it's the 13th and we haven't left yet. The long and short of it is, even though this is a podcast, I don't want to talk about it. But there are details. There are details that we can share, which are very good. If you're a follower of our social media, you saw right before the show, I posted that posted a picture of Yellow Car, just said soon. I want to give some shout outs and some huge thanks to, I don't want to tell you all the kerfuffles along the way and everything, because it will all get sorted out and ironed out. But the saviors to this story have been Tara from LA Dismantler and Crystal from LA Dismantler and their whole team over at LA Dismantler. They were able to find in their archives some stuff that would put us back together in the meantime to get us on the road. So we got some, I don't want to say what it is because we'll see once everything's all buttoned up and make sure everything works and everything. But regardless, I was able to secure some components from our friends at LA Dismantler. And I'm so grateful, Tara. Thank you so much. Those parts then I brought over to TLG. This was a multi-stage process because we weren't sure what would work. So I brought multiples in singular form. And then we saw which one would work. And then I would take back the others that wouldn't work. And then I would go get the other for the one that would. It's a whole process back and forth. Did I mention everything's been complicated lately? Good news is the parts that we think will work are over at TLG. The car's at TLG. Marco, of course, is on a 3-week vacation because he deserves it.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He did, but no.
I don't think he's taken a real vacation. Goddamn. Definitely in the last few years, for sure. Maybe as long as we've known him, a real vacation.
I don't remember him having one.
And other than us right now, everybody we know is struggling with something. We want to say that. It's not just us. But other than us right now, he's the only one I know who's struggling with something as big or bigger. And I can't think of anyone who deserved the vacation better. So, Marco, we love you. Please enjoy Europe with the whole family. Just love you so much. But meanwhile, Steve and Armando are taking care of things, and they think they'll be able to get it buttoned up by tomorrow. They might have even started today. I don't know, but they can get it buttoned up tomorrow. So we shall see. Hopefully, we should be able to get Yellow back tomorrow, which would be amazing. Now the problem is we're lousy with Porsches. I've got too many Porsches that I know what to deal with. None of them are ours, but we have Gen's Cayman, which, well, actually, we just brought that back to TRE because of the coolant, whatever. There was I think it just needs probably about an ounce of fluid. But we got to get that back to his house. In the meantime, we have his cream white 911, 997, which is beautiful, awesome car. We got to get rid of that and so we can get a yellow car. I know it sounds complicated.
It's busy. Yeah.
Sucks to have so many borrowed Porsches in our life. Thank you, Gen. We are incredibly lucky that, I mean, for a long time, for 5 years, all we had was one car. Maybe more than 5 years. Almost 6 years. That was crazy. Can you imagine our old life? Yeah. Two wasn't enough. We had three going.
Yeah.
To have just one for so many years, all the Home Depot runs, grocery runs, like everything, and it was all yellow car. It was kind of amazing. But anyway, then we got the Mini, and somehow we still always have a Porsche to drive, even when our Porsche's in the shop. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I know. Oh, let me bring Mike back in here. Sorry, buddy, I didn't mean to exclude you. There's no, I mean, there is no agenda, so if you have anything you want to say, you just jump right in, buddy. I got to get these cards that don't mean anything out of the way. Although there might be some repeat action here. Thank yous. Thank you to Reggie Watts for my watch. Paul Rivera for your other thing. Although these are from Sticky Vape and Tradecraft Farms. That's the, is it Pineapple Express?
The Pineapple Express one, I think.
Whatever it was the other day. Yeah, Pineapple Express. Good.
Yeah,
can you tell the difference when it comes to the? I know you can when it comes to the actual flower. What about these cartridges?
Some of them, I know that one from the movie.
No, I know the names, but I mean, can you tell the difference taste wise and stuff?
Yeah, we had them from the movie.
You had the carts when you put out the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know they did that back then. I thought it was just weed.
It was a special thing.
Kind of new.
Very.
Reminder: she worked on Pineapple Express with Danny. Craig, of course. Was it Danny, too?
I think just Danny, then.
Oh, not even Craig yet.
I don't think Craig yet, no.
Because when we did This Is the End, we were working with Craig, but Danny had every bit of familiarity, like when we did that thing up at Santa Barbara, and I sat watching the movie for the first time between Craig and Danny. I don't remember why.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was hilarious. No, I just remember all that. He was like, oh, what's up, Shabbat? What's up, Shabbat? You know that way, that fucking eastbound and down way he talks?
Yes. He said that a lot.
Just like that. Everybody did. That was a weird day because it got to fulfill some cool shit I always wanted to do that had nothing to do with that movie. I always wanted to get up in the projector room in a big theater and see how all that shit worked. You know, like being in the theater, you always see the room up there and you see the old movies and it's just a guy and a thing. But I always imagine the more modern versions would be pretty damn cool because it's all computers and digital projection now. And I was right. It's pretty cool. I had no idea what I was getting into. But remember that? We had free run of that whole place because they were so excited to have us there. And they hit us upstairs.
I don't think I was. Was I there, though?
Mm-hmm. You drove up.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think you had Stacy or some friend of yours from Santa Barbara meet us for drinks after.
I went. It was Stacy's birthday around then, so I went to dinner with her, I think.
Whatever it was, you were working all day because I was with Craig all day. Yeah. I did that work stuff. You were doing other stuff and then came to meet us later.
I remember now.
You had us do promos at some studio in Hollywood first. Boy, I can't believe it. It's weird how the Craig Robinson days stick in my mind forever because they start one way and they go three or four times longer than you think they will, and they end a completely different way. He's the fucking best. He's going to do the show at some point, right?
I think so.
I mean, he said yes at one point. Hopefully he'll.
He did.
Okay.
He forgets things. Often I had to remind him.
It's understandable. Pineapple Express. I forget things.
He loved that stuff way back when. He knows what's up.
Yeah, I think he always tried to get me to settle down a little bit because anytime we were drinking, he always, you know, he was like, we would do, wherever we were end up having so much fun that it would be shots. Let's do shots. And he would like to do shots. This is a long time ago. I have no idea what his entertainment habits are now. But back then it was tequila shots. Remember, we would get like chilled Patron shots. But that's on top of whatever the heck we're drinking. And for me, it was always either like Jack or red wine or some other thing like did not go. We weren't having margaritas and chasing them with tequila shots. And then you know how my brain works. It used to fire very, very quickly in those days before the weed. And he would always try to get me to slow down a little bit. He used to say, he's like, you know, you're one of those, you know what, you see things just a little bit before other people. And I was like, what? And he was like, trust me, you don't understand it, but you're on a frequency where you see things just a little bit before other people, a fraction of a second, but it's a hell of an advantage. And this was a serious conversation when he was like, here, have some weed and dull that shit down.
Yeah. I can so see that.
And anyway, because I didn't used to do weed, then the night would just disappear. Then we'd end up somewhere else. I don't know how we got there. We were never driving in those things. Thank God there was always some other, you know, either a limo or a car service or whatever. But like we'd end up at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in the middle of the night.
Right.
The best night with him was the day I met him. The first thing we ever did. And it was for This Is the End as well. But we started at like, I don't know, 6 a.m. pickup, something like that. Maybe the car picked me up at 6 to pick him up at 7:30, something like that. But an early morning pickup. WonderCon. Anaheim Convention Center, WonderCon for This Is the End. And we did a panel, and we did an appearance, and it was Seth Rogen, Craig, Danny McBride, and Evan Goldberg, the writer, and, you know, Seth's partner.
Yeah.
And he had that S&M leather, you know, sex outfit.
I do.
Nobody knew what to make of it.
He liked to go on the floor and hide.
Right. Well, this wasn't even that, though. We were doing the panel, but they were all dressed up in weird, different things, but it was the same thing. He still wanted to hide. He took it off eventually, but it was very, very strange. Anyway, started at WonderCon. You know, we had to be there at probably 10 o'clock in the morning or something, and then we were there till noon or whatever. And then all I know is the studio said we could keep the – he said, find out if we can keep the limo. And I was like, what, for the day? He's like, the day, the night, whatever. Find out if we can keep the limo. And I was like, okay. And I did, and the studio was so happy. You know how back then, if things went off well, they were so freaking happy. They were like, yes, whatever, just awesome. Everybody's happy. Great. And so they said, sure. And that was it. That was like noontime, and I got home at like 5 in the morning.
So late.
We did so much stuff. We went everywhere. We went to the Inland Empire for something because I think his cousin or his brother's band was playing or something, and we went there for like some festival.
I remember like, you
like
saying
inland,
that.
Like way inland, some music festival.
I remember you being.
It might have been Indio Palm Springs. Like it was so far, and we went to some hotel. Anyway, all that. Then we ended up back in Beverly Hills, and we went to Mastro's. Very late, and then. I don't remember. We closed everything in town down, and then we ended up at that after-hours place that Courtney Cox's husband used to own, ex-husband.
Oh.
David Arquette.
David Arquette used to own a nightclub that was, like, private so they could go, like, all hours or something. Bootsy Bellows was the name of that joint.
I remember that place.
It was, like, 22 hours straight with with Craig Robinson, and it was the most fun I'd had in so long. I remember telling you, I was like, this was ridiculous. This was ridiculous. I can't even tell you all the things we did because I'll never remember them all. All the people we met. We laughed so hard.
You came home quite happy with that.
You were in South Africa. That's why I was doing it. Otherwise, you would have been working.
Yeah, I got that. I remember the call.
So funny.
You know, he went there finally.
What?
Craig went to South Africa.
No.
When
reminds me of Lethal Weapon.
He went there from London. When he went there, it started to do anything.
The Lethal Weapons, there's a scene where Danny Glover wants to go to South Africa and he goes to the embassy to try to get like a visa or whatever. And he's like, sir, I don't think you want to go there. It was like during apartheid and stuff. So it was like, you didn't want to be black and go to South Africa. No sir, Ebop. It was not my rules. It was a thing back then. Anyway, watch Lethal Weapon. I think it's the second one. And back to Pineapple Express. Thank you, Sticky Vape and Tradecraft Farms. Rusty Shackerford, I'll never forget the opening scene with Bill Hader, forever a classic, of Pineapple Express. Yeah, black and white. Kind of seems like an old, it's an old military experiment, like the Philadelphia experiment or something like that.
It does. I don't remember Bill from that.
He's in like the 60s in the beginning when they're shooting the old, do you remember the movie pretty well?
No.
Okay, well then I won't say it. Because what's happening in the beginning is sort of where the movie ends.
Oh.
So it's kind of, I don't want to, yeah.
Got it.
Right? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Really laid back. Look, it's casual night, everybody. Mike, how are you? We've talked too much. You talk
a little. No, you didn't talk too much. No, I'm receiving the energy of this place because I, too, am struck with the going through stuff. The way that other people in your life are struck with that. But I...
What's going on with you?
I'm fine. Huh?
What's going on with you, though? What are you dealing with?
Woke up with some, like, yesterday morning with, like, crippling anxiety about the future. And it's like...
Oh, that's funny. That is maybe very similar. Okay.
Yeah.
Did yours come from anywhere or just, like... I wasn't worried yesterday and all of a sudden I was.
You know how you could walk across the street and get hit by a bus, but that's probably not going to happen. It's that kind of shit. It's like money stuff or business stuff or just things about being, I'm just worried about things that could happen that almost definitely are not going to happen. Irrational fears run rampant. And I mean, you know, logically, I've got enough personal development in me where I know how to logically deal with this stuff. But sometimes the brain and the emotional heart don't, coincide.
I fully agree. Do you know where any of your stuff is coming from? Can you, because I'm looking at you and I think I might have an inkling only because I'm applying my own filter when that shit sneaks up. Would love to hear the theory.
Honestly,
you just came off one hell of a fucking high. You just had a major achievement in your life that I feel that sometimes it's difficult to maintain the high after.
Yeah, that might be it.
Really did just kind of cross a lot of shit off your bucket list, and it's not one-time stuff. Like, this is ongoing things. So maybe you're just back into the – you weren't looking at, you know, all of those things for a long time, and then that's what happens to us a lot.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be fine when we're busy, busy, busy. And then the moment, like, the next day, you know, oh, we need to rest because it's been so crazy. And then you wake up after you got the rest. And then we're like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
I totally feel that could be it. Absolutely. Overwhelm. I hate overwhelm. Overwhelm is one of those things where it's because it's so intangible. And like, even when you're doing the right things, the things that you're supposed to be doing, you're crossing things off task lists and things like that. And then the overwhelm just stays there. It makes me less effective. And that part I really, really don't appreciate. And that's so, to be perfectly frank, that's where I'm at today.
For me, it's the charge. It's when I'm on the charge for so long and then I get those things accomplished or they're out of the way for whatever reason. It's almost like I've been on the charge for however that I have to shift myself back into the grateful mode, which is like I'm normally in all the time. But sometimes when you get in the charge of get things done, you kind of lose the grateful mode. You just keep the train moving.
Yep.
And then sometimes when I get to that place, it's kind of like I have to make the list again of like all the things I am. We've got a lot of shit in our life, but there's still so many things that we are both so appreciative of and so grateful for on a daily basis. Like the list, I'll start crying right here if I start talking about any of them. You're all included in our gratitude list.
Yeah.
Sometimes that pulls me out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's one of the things that logically I know that I have to do. Like I want to get back to baseline. It's like, okay, get the gratefulness journal out, start going through that. All the little different things. And that's one thing that I'm actively doing. Yeah. That's
do you journal regularly?
I do something. I'm not a natural journaler. So someone turned me on to, the idea of a book called The 5-Minute Journal a few years ago. And I've gone through a couple of them. They're fantastic. It's literally journaling on, literally journaling on rails. So, and it includes putting great things you're grateful for in it.
Yeah. It's funny how we have to remind ourselves. It's so weird as humans. It's bizarre.
Being grateful and modes. Say that again?
We just get into these little modes. Me as a human, I get into these little modes and the little patterns. And even though I'm an adult who has worked my way out of these patterns, I should know what to do. Still, I find myself in the muck sometimes. And then Don Giller.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Welcome
it's
to my world. Exactly.
Yeah. Going through the same frustration or the same thing, like learning the same lesson multiple times, is so counterproductive to me. But that's the point of it, is that I got to figure out, well, there's a whole bunch of things that I could go, directions I could go down there. Whether
when
I didn't
find out, let me know, because I deal with it every day.
Wow.
Same thing to over and over, because I have no memory between the pot and the abyss.
Hi, I'm Tom.
It's horrible. I have to retrain. It's good in a way. I have to retrain stuff, but it's impossibly irritating.
Yeah. Well, it must be really frustrating for you.
Yes.
You're like that times a million.
Well, because I get so excited a week after I've done it the first time. It's like, oh no, you've already gone over this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I drive you crazy with that repetitive nonsense. It's like new to me every time.
I know. We're both works in progress.
I'm
neither one of us know how to do what we're doing these days.
Once things settle down and I get more on aligned with this system, I think I'll be okay.
Can we talk about you a little bit more?
Sure.
We got your second infusion yesterday of the Tysabri.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we go to the oncology department at UCLA, and we go get chemo. It's not chemo because it's a different thing in the bag, but it's at the chemo. It's from the chemo people. It's all that. It's in the same place with all the chemo around. And we try to have fun while we're there. They generally get a pretty good kick out of us.
They seem to.
But it's not fun. How are you yesterday after, or now after yesterday's poke?
Fine. I'm bruised up. I didn't realize it went so poorly.
She did it twice.
The I first saw one was a this miss. In the shower and I was like, what is that?
Nope. It was a miss. It was a hit and a miss. Yeah, whatever. Swing and a miss.
I feel my brain getting stronger, so it sucks even worse that my body's not connected. But this feels okay. And I've come to the visualization. Did you ever see that? It's like a spinal cord with things attached to it. And that's what I remind myself of all the time. That's the important stuff.
The spinal cord?
Yeah, I really go low, basic.
No, that's. I'm just trying to understand it all.
I'm seeing it in my head there, but yes, brainstem connected to a spinal cord,
which is where your lesions are in your spine.
Right. Yeah. So I focused on those to make them healthier.
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe that works. You know, I mean. I believe you really could be helping yourself by doing that.
I hope so.
Mind over matter is a funny thing, man. It's a funny thing. In the same way that Mike can maybe change his attitude by getting grateful and doing all the pushing his little buttons and doing the journal and whatever. It's like mind over matter. It's saying, oh, I refuse to accept this when I have tools to get around it.
I used to do that when I could write. I would make notes to remind myself of those things. So it's super important. But I just can't now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. That's all right. I mean, you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
Debt is less than nothing. Okay. Thank you.
Please expound on that.
It's probably something that I said before, like we owe you all a debt of gratitude or something. I meant it. Like we're also grateful to all of you. Yeah, you know, it's funny too, because whenever I wrestle up the strength to, it shouldn't be like this. We shouldn't be like this as people. We should be more open and be able to do this. But whenever I wrestle up the strength to post something very vulnerable and personal about what we're going through, it's always received so well, so much positivity, so much love from everybody all around the world. It makes me wonder why I don't feel like I should can do it more. Like, why is it still so hard every single time to share? And all I can come up with that is just it's vulnerable. It's like we grew up in a not a time, but maybe just households where like you hid this stuff. You know, you put on your good clothes to go outside, and you whatever the fuck, and you kind of tucked it in, swept it under the carpet. Didn't really deal or process it, and we are not that way at all anymore, but still that's in me. I still want to hide it. I want to hide all of our ugliness from you, and that's dumb. I shouldn't do that, but that's my go-to. How are you with it?
I don't know anymore, like, what's to be hidden and what's not, so I've taken all barriers down, and it's like, this is me.
I think that's the way to go. It's just hard for me to do. I salute you for letting go. Mm-hmm. I think you need to let go. I think I need to let go.
I think I need to let go of more, but my brain's trained to not share things from my old job and mindset, so I have to change how I am.
Right. That was a huge part of it. But same thing. So the way we're raised, and then also your job, it was the same part of it. There's a front of house and a back of house.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you talk to people who are successful doing this sort of thing these days, and there isn't a front of house or a back of house. It's the smoking tire. It's people who, Christian James, people who are just authentic. And that's still hard. I guess that's what I'm saying. That's still hard. Also, who wants to just constantly wah, you know?
It's why I didn't say anything for so long, because that's the flip side. But there's a good side. Like, I read those comments and letting people explore it without going through it themselves is really helpful for me to look at it that way.
To watch them go through it by ingesting what we posted or what we shared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too, but I get caught up. I get caught up. I get very little. As high and big as we all want to be, I get very little sometimes. And somebody will be like, oh, I lost my cat too. And I'm like, oh, the post wasn't really about the cat, but I mean, sorry for your loss. You know, because of course it's a picture of the cat. It starts with the cat. It just got so much deeper than that, where I was kind of like pouring my soul that I feel like. But I guess the job is to put it out there. How people receive it is none of your business. That's yeah. always been hard for me.
Everyone I worked with, that was the hardest thing for them to come to terms with.
Yes.
They wanted to control how people reacted.
Yes.
You can't.
Can't we? Why can't we do that?
You can't. No one can.
No, less and less now. Everybody's got, you know, multiple frickin' devices and screen names and whatever the heck. They'll hit you from every angle. I'm grateful that we're not that controversial, or at least we're not, you know what I mean? We don't have to be that careful, thank God. They're, everyone knows our secrets already.
Yeah, true.
I'm sure there's some in there. I'm sure there's some in there. It's funny when they come out, too. Sorry about last week, folks. I was fine with it, but thinking about Don's comments and Mike's afterwards, it was pretty funny. So watch that show. That was Conan's thing all the time. Also, can somebody tell me why Conan's late night desk was so fucking small? I never got the answer to that. I've always wanted to know. He's the largest man in the history of late night, and they made the smallest desk ever. Never made sense to me. But he'd always... Conan used to have a blue thing over here. It was like an apple box. You know what an apple box is? You stand on it, make you taller or whatever. Cinematographers sit on them, whatever. It's a tool. But this one was painted blue, same color of the carpet, and it was a slot for the blue cards of whoever's on the show. Remember, Conan's were this way. So he would, at the commercial break, the long commercial break, which is after the first guest, and it was a double that used to be in the old days, he would tell you who was on the show, and then he'd say, so watch that show. And I saw it every day. He would also come out first thing, and he'd be like, we got a great show for you tonight. We got such a great show for you tonight. And I was like, why does he say that every single night? Like, there's someone's making him say that. Someone's making him say that every night. But we can all see it. We can all see through. I'm talking literally 1993, folks. Probably 1994. But, like, the first few months of the show. Somebody here needs some magic mushrooms. Oh, yeah. You mean her, right? Do you mean her?
I think we all do.
Yeah, I'm more open to it than I ever was in my life prior. I was always allergic, so I was always sort of stayed away. But then once we got on the pot and the other things, I sort of believed that I could program my allergies and whatever else in my body, and that, like, sort of my brain had the power. And we did them that one time. It was a very small dose, and you didn't feel anything. And I went on a journey.
That whole experience made me realize how high my tolerance is.
Because then we gave you double the next night, and you were like, yep, nope, still nothing. I didn't even do them again. I was like, I'm good. I'm back, refreshed, got my head. But maybe Don's is right. Maybe that's exactly what we need.
Maybe.
I had to go from the living room to the kitchen to get something. It's not close, but it's probably like 20, 30 feet. Took me a long time. First of all, I couldn't stand up. And then I couldn't really crawl either, because every time I did something, it would make me think of something else. And then it just took me to places, and I just had a very emotional, I was laughing and crying all the way. And what was I even going to get you? Something so stupid, like marshmallows or like some snack or cereal, something.
Something like that.
By the time I came back, we were not in a good place, because I had been in my journey, and she was like, what took so long? She's still here and now, right? But for me, I've been gone for hours.
I felt nothing. And I was like, what's happening?
So yeah, I'm open to it. Every Friday. Oh, right on. Yeah, that'd probably be good up in the mountains.
Oh,
I don't know about where we are now, but back up at Newcomb's.
I bet. Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I'm at a place where we're even talking about this now, because I...
Yes. I want to know.
And now I'll read it for the podcast listeners. Don Giller says, remember that maybe news I wouldn't talk about? Yes, we do. Still won't.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, you didn't see that coming. Oh, Don, I do wish we lived closer, because I do find you very funny.
do you too.
I feel like I'm Charlie Brown and he's Lucy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's your fault for falling for it. Yep. She's going to take it every time.
Yep.
Blockhead.
I know.
Well, you seem great. You hide it. You fake it better. Your faking it is better than our faking it. Because we feel like we don't even fake it anymore. We just wear it on our faces.
It's funny because when I'm overwhelmed, I still can be happy with positive energy.
I guess us too, but somehow it doesn't translate the same way yours does.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Speaking of Charlie Brown, by the way, when Austin was... Austin's nickname was Pigpen. And when you called me a blockhead, it just brought back all these great memories. He worked for this shop where all they did was work on, you know, the Japanese imports, and they called him Pigpen. That was his nickname.
Does he still work there or no?
No, he decided he had an existential crisis right as he was getting his red seal. And he's like, I like these things fixed up. I like them when they're clean. I don't like them when they're taken apart and dirty. And that's when he became a videographer.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really interesting transition.
Yeah.
He's very honest with himself and following his, what sparked him. Smart
totally.
To do that. Smart to do that.
Yeah. We encouraged him very much in that.
Don Giller is Linus.
Is his tape collection his blanket?
I don't know if he's Linus. Who would he be? Woodstock, probably.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, Don Giller could be Snoopy. I mean,
he could be Snoopy.
Because Snoopy kind of ties the whole thing together. He is Peanuts, but he doesn't have any words. He just sort of there binding.
He does cool shit, though.
Very much so. I don't know. I haven't seen a Peanuts anything in, 30 years? 40 years?
I watch the holiday ones every year.
The pumpkin? That's the only one I can think of.
Christmas.
There's Christmas. A Christmas. Oh, right, because it's skating. Tree. Yeah. I used to be able to play the Vince Guaraldi music on the piano. Probably still could. Skating was a beautiful song. Oh, so beautiful.
I loved when they were on Saturday mornings.
Those jazz progressions are insane. Vince Guaraldi was a fucking genius.
I'd love to see these. Mm-hmm. I play them nonstop. They were so good.
More Pigpen. That's funny. That's funny. Don, how is the weather out there in New York? We have a friend who has worked on the Kelly Clarkson show since the beginning, and they just moved to 30 Rock. So he just showed up his first week at work and posted a picture out of 30 Rock. And I'm like, Jesus, you're on a high floor, but I know that view. Looked very clear. Looked very, very clear today. How's the weather out there? I'll riffle you, boy. I have nothing. If we didn't say, we have nothing. Nothing tonight. I told you about Yellow Car? Yeah, we did that. First thing I did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
And we talked about your infusion, so that's done.
So you can actually feel your brain getting stronger from your infusion?
When I think about it the next day, yeah.
That's so trippy.
Yeah. She said it last time too, so I tend to believe it. It kind of makes sense to me more than anything else because whatever this medicine is, it's small enough to get through the blood-brain barrier, right? That's why it's a fucking medicine. So if the first thing that needs to be fixed would be your brain.
Yeah.
And then it needs to, make the juices to fix all the myelin and all that crap all the way down.
Needs to settle and ooze in. Mm-hmm. And that happens, but really slowly, which is probably good. But frustrating because I want it to happen faster sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
But it helps me sort through the emotional stuff and the informational stuff, which are stored differently. But for me, they're all mixed up.
They're stored differently, but for you, they're mixed up. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I take a picture of your arm?
Sure.
For the record here? No, I'm just kidding.
Like short-term and long-term memory, which mine is also messed up.
Right.
Don says it's no longer Blade Runner 2049, which is nice. The orange sky must have gone. It looked like Mars, New York.
Yeah, it did.
Shout out to the folks at UCLA Health, UCLA Medical Center, the teaching hospital. I think Andrea yesterday was a little bit new with the poking and the bruising there, but some other signs pointed to that. But that's the point. It's a teaching hospital, right? But shout out to everybody there. They are so nice and so accommodating, so helpful. It seems like anytime we need anything, they're just like, oh, yes, of course, absolutely.
So nice. Blankets and snacks, they're great.
The blankets and snacks, they gave us a private room this time that was really nice. It was like, you know, not as hospitally. It was like painted a dark color and the lights dimmed. There was a big TV on the wall, so we just watched Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Watched like three episodes. We were there a long time yesterday. The first time was supposed to be longer, and it was half the time.
Yesterday felt long.
We got there at like 3:30 or something, and we were there till 7:30.
We got there early, and then the clock in our room didn't work, and I was like, what's happening?
I know. I fixed up that room real nice. I was so appreciative to have it. I fixed everything that was in it.
You totally did. You're like every dream patient that no one knows what to do with stuff, but you do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm everybody's dream patient. You hear that? That's why I stopped listening after that. You're everyone's dream patient. Yep. Nailed it.
I realize you do that sometimes. Stop listening.
Huh?
I know.
Where do you think I learned that trick?
Probably me.
Yeah, you bet.
But selfishly, I'll go to, I had for two phones going at a computer and conversations that I've been going on sometimes for months.
Yeah, or even years. I talked about this today at LA Dismantler with everybody. Somehow this turned into a therapy session in the lobby there. And we were all talking about you because some guy, it was lunchtime and there was some guy there who used to be involved with somebody who had MS. And so he had some back experience, but it was 20 years ago. And I told him how, while technology has improved, they really don't know much more.
Nope.
There's different things they're trying, but there isn't really any more information than there was then.
Yeah.
So we were talking about all of that. And I said, you used to have a phone tucked in each boob. She'd have a computer out. She'd have things for the client, a bag and a purse going through things at the same time. It was so overwhelming to look at. I don't know how you did it all. And the only thing I can think of is you ramped what I saw was at the end of it all, you had ramped up to that pace for years and years and years because it was inhuman.
And it was just normal. I had no idea how much I did. But yeah.
The volume of information in and out, real and bullshit. Like there was just so much bandwidth.
So much. And I had my email and my bosses so I could monitor everything that was happening. And everyone we worked with was international. And it was when everyone suddenly got like 7 sponsors through the network. And so we had to be protective of relationships, and there was a lot to keep track of.
Too much. Too much.
And here you go.
Well, I'm grateful for all of it. I mean, it is funny though when people come to this little thing that we are kind of used to doing now, and they're like, what are you? This is so much shit. And I kind of feel the same way, but also we've worked up to it. We never could have just walked in here one day and done this. It was like it started out much, much smaller and much simpler, and then we just get me out of here.
Yeah.
So I think it's like anything over time. You do anything long enough.
Yeah.
Here, what's this thing from last week? WTF. Yeah, I mean, that really hasn't
something.
Stopped. Let me just finish the WTFs because they're so important. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
See, Charlie Brown and Lucy, you got me on that one. I got to open this today. This was a hard drive that Don Giller gave me when I was in New York, and it's mm-hmm. full. It's got like a couple terabytes worth of stuff today.
And you're one just of now digging into it?
I didn't have a chance to. It was all family stuff basically since I got back, and I'm just starting to get into things right now, like Friday's episode and all that kind of stuff. I'm starting to think about that right now. But anyway, I got a chance to jump into it. It was actually one of the things that brought me like smiles today. In it, there's a file that are compilations that he put up that had to be taken down. And so I get to watch a few Don Giller compilations today that either I saw way back when they were still up or I never had a chance to see. So that was kind
of... Are we able to talk about what ones they are? Because they were probably copyright or whatever. It's not like he did anything wrong, right?
No, not at all. You know what? I'll give a broad definition on a lot of it. It has to do with things that had also to do with Johnny Carson and Carson Productions.
Yeah, I remember a lot of these. And I remember when he was able to get the clearance back from the Carson people and parlay that. There was a lot going on then. So that's why I thought he was given the all clear after that. But I feel like there was either it was full episodes or they said, maybe they said anything we've already posted, go for it. Maybe that was their stance.
I'm not certain. But there's like an Al Franken bit where Franken tells a story on Letterman about when he was an audience member of Carson, and then it ends perfectly with the clip of when he was the audience member at Carson.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just fine to describe. Good. Okay. Excellent. He just mentioned that, so that makes me happy. So anyway, yeah, it's a perfect clip and a perfect little like 10-minute compilation, but without the Carson part at the end of it, it doesn't play nearly as well, right? Don has this way of putting all of these things together, even little teeny tiny moments that add so much flavor to a narrative of one of these compilations.
He's an excellent editor, but I think it's because he's logged the material himself.
Yeah.
There's a lost in translation thing that happens between editors and assistant editors in our business, because the assistant editors are the ones that log all the material into the computer, the Avid, the whatever you're using. And then it's the editor who... And the assistant editor pulls the clips and whatever the fuck, and just so then the editor can then work with them. But the editor doesn't have that knowledge of what everything was. And, you know, he's just looking at notes. He or she is looking at notes later that the assistant editor's met. Don did all of this work himself. Nobody will know it better than him, no matter what it happens in the future. So I think all of that resource that Don is translates it. Plus, he's pretty good at the actual art of the work of it. Sure. It ends up being a really good package for the rest of us who like to watch his clips. We're very lucky that he's so talented at it.
It's like cooking from scratch and with love. And that's essentially what he does with his compilations.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I mean, Don's was into music in the 60s and stuff, so I feel like he'd probably be a magic mushroom guy, or at least back in the day, I would guess. I mean, it can't be all facetious, right? Also, it seems that these things are getting mainstream. Everybody's microdosing and stuff. Is it even illegal anymore?
Not in a lot of places.
Really? I thought it was still illegal everywhere, but maybe not.
I know one place, definitely it's not illegal.
Let me look up, are magic mushrooms illegal?
It just started to get legalized, I think.
I feel like Oregon opened it right up.
Oregon. It's psilocybin is really what we're looking for here, right? That's the mushroom active chemical.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I need a bigger phone or longer arms. What is psilocybin? What does psilocybin look like? How is it abused? Who abuses psilocybin? What are the risks? What is psilocybin called? Is psilocybin illegal? Ooh, done. Psilocybin is illegal. Psilocybin is a Schedule I substance under the Controlled Substances Act. Schedule I drugs, which include heroin and LSD, have a high potency and, high potential for abuse and serve no legitimate medical purpose in the United States. That's hilarious. That is government propaganda more than anything I've ever seen. I don't want to get this thing shut down, but like no legitimate medical purpose in the United States is the silliest statement, the silliest, most outdated statement I think you could possibly publish on the internet. I think it's like proven in many, many ways now that it has all sorts of therapeutic purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, proven. I guess there's a study for everything.
New younger doctors are looking at the psychological effects of brain things like psilocybin.
I agree. It's just that that's looking into these substances this way is not new. It was the government that did it a long, long time ago, and right. then they did the experiments and then decided, okay, this is this, this is this, this is this. There was all sorts of movies and all, whatever. I don't want to go down that. This will turn into the Tinfoil Hats podcast, and then all this it's a whole different thing. But that is interesting. Because I'm pretty sure that cannabis falls under the Schedule I as well. It just so happens that half the states in the union have legalized it. It's still federally illegal.
Yes.
Yep.
Because of the Schedule I.
Dumb ladies, better is hilarious.
But the fact that cannabis fits a Schedule I and then would meet that same statement that says they serve no medical purpose is like laughable to me when
yep.
you without... that I'm going to say crutch just because you know what I mean. It's, I don't know that it actually fixes anything. It just kind of makes you accept it a little more in the moment. I can't imagine you without it. Can't imagine.
Yeah. It doesn't affect me like it does some people. Like, but I still feel everything. Like, it doesn't take pain away.
Right.
But it lets me focus and think about other things, which has been so effective and helpful.
Because it lets you forget about the other stuff for 2 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, and lets me look at things I like. Like, I love psychology. It was my hobby, and it's what I went to school for. And I realized recently that I focused on abnormal psychology, which I got to the place of that's why I like boundaries. I like to know what's not good and what's good and stay and swim in the middle when I can.
I lost the channel after it, but after a long letter of repentance, the Carson folks rescinded the strikes. As long as I took them down myself. Yep. And you are a gentleman because you did and it was back up. Acid, nay, once. In 71, never again. What was that experience like? Where were you? How much did you do? I've never done acid either. I can't even imagine. That one still frightens me, even though everyone says they're all kind of the same. Like, if you eat enough pot, that's like a minor acid trip, mm-hmm. supposedly.
I've heard that.
Supposedly.
Too. I've heard that.
I'm sure there'd be a lot of people who would say, nope. Hmm. That's funny. Do they all do something?
All the mushrooms?
I'm asking because I don't know. They're all fungus. So there are different types of fungus maybe, and then different types have... Do all mushrooms have psilocybin or only the magic ones? Or is it like a non-alcoholic beer where they still have a tiny bit, it's just a micro amount where you wouldn't get anything?
I think like that.
So they do all. Because they're mold, right? I mean, it's, isn't it like mushrooms and mold are in the same family? Moles, spores, molds, and fungus are all Ghostbusters. It's all the same family.
They grow out of mold. Like, that's where it comes
from. Yeah, warm, damp, M word.
Yes.
Some ladies don't like the M word.
It was in bad commercials in the 90s.
That is the worst. That's the worst.
That's
Don
not going to be
says,
fun.
Silver Springs, Maryland, for the worst reason, peer pressure. God damn it. That makes me feel for you so bad because there's no way it could be good.
No.
And I did not know mushrooms give you gas. Good to know. I could use a little gas. I'm not a farter, you know. We've been together however many years. It's like an event if I fart. I get very excited and happy about it. I'm a burper like crazy, though. Somewhere the pipes are clogged. It all comes up. The air goes up, not out. Well, up and out, but not down and out. What a weird show. What a weird show. Weird people. You know, they wouldn't give a show like this to people like us. You have to make your own.
And how boring TV would be otherwise.
Yeah.
We learned every lesson the hard way.
Yeah, that'll be on my tombstone. did things the hard way. He insisted.
Have you guys watched the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing on Netflix yet?
Yes.
No. Yes, okay. No.
Gotcha.
What about the thing I told you to watch? You probably haven't had the time to get into that.
It's not in Canada yet. I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. I can't find a way to get it, and I haven't been doing torrents in the last few years, so.
You don't have the Max up there?
We do. That's the thing, and I have it,
but it's not on there.
It's not on there yet. Oh. And I feel like our version of Max is being segmented because of what's going on with Discovery down there.
Yeah, I think they all are. You're right. I think everybody is. I think ours is indirect now, and then all of a sudden it'll be like a switch when they figure it all out.
Yeah.
You're talking about the HBO and the Time Warner and all of that bullshit.
Yeah. Cuz there is HBO stuff, and there's something that's as new as a month ago that's on there. And cuz I looked to see the most recent thing. But this, unfortunately, On the Road wasn't there, unfortunately.
Our prediction is that at some point soon there becomes a new HBO app, and then the HBO things move to that, and then Max becomes Max.
Yeah, okay,
like
there
it
you
always
go.
Was. Because right now, all of the HBO series are on Max. You still get the, the HBO thing and all that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're signing into Max. And it's not HBO Max. It's just Max.
No.
Ones and zeros, man. These kids, nothing means anything anymore.
One thing Morty lamented about, he goes, I saw something the other day and it made me so depressed. Shark Week is on Max.
Oh, well, you know, I go that with Sesame Street. The fact that Sesame Street was on HBO and now Max. Yep. That disheartens me. To a level I can't even describe, because the whole point of Sesame Street's existence was to get educational programming into households that couldn't afford it.
For free. That's right.
For free. Yeah, on PBS. So it's kind of a bummer that it's behind a paywall now, but whatever. I guess the world's a-changing. Mm-hmm. I knew it was over when we were watching stuff on YouTube. And we don't have the commercial-free YouTube. We have regular YouTube. And when the commercials would come on, they were for the network's shows, for television networks and network shows. They were advertising, watch the new season on Fox or whatever. Only on CBS. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
If they're advertising in the new media, they admit it's over. And then beyond that, this is sort of like a little inside baseball, but CBS... the Columbia Broadcasting fucking systems there's not much left of it. I don't know how much people know, but you know, they used to own all of their real estate where all the studios were. And the final property has just been listed for sale, which is the broadcast center on 57th Street. First, I don't know. I don't want to say the order. I think it was TV City first. And then I think Black Rock in New York, and then CBS Radford, which is the one right around the corner from us where Seinfeld and That 70s Show, every show, Gilligan's Island, all those shows were filmed, sold, gone. And then now the final one is the Broadcast Center on 57th Street, the one that used to be the old horse-drawn carriage place or whatever the heck.
Wow.
So basically they will now be paying rent for every single square foot that they occupy, which is like, that only lasts so long until what happens? I don't know. What happens? Are the affiliates still a thing? Do we still need affiliates if there is no more network? I don't understand how it all works. The whole thing is, I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime. I loved this so much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's changing pretty rapidly.
I mean, I don't know how they can still afford to have shows in 30 Rock when all of that space is so valuable. And I hope it never changes. To me, that's the antenna to the world, right? I mean, that is the broadcast antenna to the world, as far as I'm concerned. But meanwhile, what can they do that we can't do from our dining room here right now? Nothing.
Right.
They got room for a band. That's it. From a production standpoint, we're doing it all here.
Good point.
CBS was still on the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Say it again?
CBS will still own the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yeah, you're right about that, but I don't think, you know, there's a thing behind this. CBS bought it in 92 or whatever when they decided that they were going to stay there. But there, Don's might have the backstory to this. If I you're right. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Well, but the only reason I know that right
I will
now,
say that of all the broadcast facilities, because that would be the whole block. It's not just the building.
Yeah.
Or the whole corner anyway. That would be the only property that would making that would be making the proper revenue on its square footage with all of the restaurants and stores and all of the other things. None of the other properties had the ability to do that.
No.
I don't know. It's just a weird time. But you're right. I forgot about the Ed Sullivan Theater. Mainly
what about the Paramount
broadcast
lot?
Facility. Should go back to making it a legitimate theater.
Yeah.
The cats come back in the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Where the hell are the singing cats?
Midnight and the kitties are sleeping.
Has Paramount sold their lot?
No.
Okay, so Paramount still has the lot then.
Yeah, but CBS and Paramount are no longer. I mean, when we worked there, it was Sumner Redstone was still alive, and he was trying to divide up the properties. It was basically Succession. The show Succession was kind of what was going on at the time at Paramount when I was doing Everybody It's Chris and you were working there. Sumner Redstone was this billionaire guy, iconoclast in the entertainment industry, and his daughter was one, and Brad Gray was the other one. And he gave Brad Gray CBS and his daughter Paramount. I can't remember which was which, but basically he said, fight it out. It like divided the companies into two. We had to, everybody in the entire lot had to change their email address. Most people actually moved over to Radford because the divide was so huge. They moved Entertainment Tonight and Inside Access, Inside Edition, or whatever that other one. It was Entertainment Tonight and the other one. Insider, The Insider. Those all moved.
Yeah, the emails would change your addresses the next day was nuts.
They did, and they changed it three times because they didn't know what they were going to do. So it went from like blah, blah, blah at paramount.com to blah, blah, blah at cbsparamount.com to at some point it was the wb.com or no, UPN, whatever the heck. They changed it so many times. Because then also in the middle of all of that, they got rid of UPN and the CW. No, UPN and the WB.
Right.
And created the CW.
Yeah.
And
so our first season we were on UPN, and then the second season and the rest we were on CW. But it was a fucking hassle. Changing studios midstream like that?
I can't imagine. Like, it was crazy. Like, I stopped looking at the emails because it was just too much.
Don Giller, not a clue. I just dropped acid for the first time in 53 years. All right. Happy anniversary to Porsche, 75th anniversary. Okay, where do we begin? We intended to be at, we were going to come back on the 10th and we were going to be at Santa Clarita and the whole thing. The weekend was rough. We spent the entire weekend on the floor watching movies in the dark and in the quiet. There is, in the neighborhood of everything is nuts right now, things you can't control. Heavy-duty construction on the other side of the wall here in our condo. They're remodeling the unit next door because of some insurance. There was a water problem. I don't know. But that's going on for the next month. So on the weekends, it was quiet, and there was no pounding. And she wasn't feeling great. I wasn't feeling great after my arm and back thing. Add to that, the water was out in the building. Woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, no water. Get an email at 6 from the condo association saying, oh, yes, we're aware. We've called DWP, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't mean anything. It was nighttime, like after dinner by the time the water came back and we could actually shower and bathe and clean everything. I don't know how you did it that day. I don't know how you did it that day. I almost jumped in the pool.
Gotten a lot less needy.
Yeah, but it was not good. It was not fair. You were in a cruel and inhuman type of punishment,
awful,
in my opinion.
But Thank you. But the list I have of what is not fair with this whole thing is so long. I can't look at any one thing.
Anyway, so our apologies to Porsche of Santa Clarita. We had every intention of being there for the big party. Had to take care of us. So sorry. Plus, we didn't have yellow car. It just, I mean, if we were feeling well, I'm sure we would have gone without yellow car, but whatever. What's that, buddy?
This was on Sunday, right?
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Well, yeah, Saturday.
Because I was driving by the Porsche dealership locally. I've got a Porsche dealership that's like two blocks from my house.
Porsche of Kelowna.
And they had this huge party thing going on Sunday. I couldn't believe it. It was on...
Perhaps Canada was different. Around here, the dealerships were all Saturday the 10th, and then Sunday the 11th, PECLA, P-E-C-L-A, the Porsche Experience Center here in Los Angeles, the racetrack and experience center where motorsports is. They had the big morning shift, Cars and Coffee, that was huge because of the 75th anniversary. So we intended to do both of those things. We thought we'd be doing with them with the car on the way back into town. Life these days, I'm sorry. That's, you know, I made a post today saying we're doing our best and it's not as good as we would like it to be, but thanks for hanging in there with us. Like, prime example.
Yeah.
We can't make plans. We can't make plans with people. We have to cancel them all the time. We are the, how do you feel right now? Do you want to go do something? We're those people. I don't know. We were bummed to have missed it. I don't think anyone's upset about it or anything like that, but I just, you know, when you say you want to do things and then you're just not able to, it's a bummer. So, but we make up for it in other ways. Aren't we fun?
It was cool seeing it from my perspective. I had Alara with me and we were going to a princess ball. So I didn't get a chance to stop, but we did drive around the corner and drive by it because, you know, on a Sunday, you don't see a lot of hoopla there normally.
Yeah.
And seeing parallel parked all the way down on both sides of the street, all these folks who brought their Porsches out, it was just a really cool, you could see the camaraderie and you could kind of feel the camaraderie as we were driving through it. It was kind of neat to see. It's neat to see a company do that company-wide and get all of their enthusiasts excited about it at the same time. It was really cool to see.
They're good at that, for one.
Yeah.
They're real good at what you're talking about there, because somehow those cars, like the Volkswagen, they just got under people's skin, so the passion is, it's just deep. It's interesting you say about how they get everybody to do it, because all of the dealerships were mandated to throw this anniversary party. But the funny thing is, like, all of the dealerships, every single one of the dealerships are individually owned. Even the ones that are owned by Porsche, like, those are individually owned by Porsche. They're not all. If you go to one Porsche dealership for an oil change and then go to another Porsche dealership right down the street 6 months later for another oil change, they won't have your records from the other store, nor can they access them. You know how BMW or most car companies
are all attached? Yeah.
Not that way at all. So it's always amazing to me when they pull off something like what you're talking about, because this was every Porsche dealership in our country, the ones obviously in Canada, and I think all around the world.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So shout out to Porsche. Happy birthday. 75 years. It's pretty amazing. Congratulations. Is there anything else? I don't know. I don't want to waste people's time. Who's on the Letterman podcast this week?
This week we're going to have James Henderson III, Biff's kid. He's coming on this week.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So Biff's name is James, and he's junior, and his son is...
The fact that you've got Biff's kid coming in is the coolest.
Yeah.
Was he affiliated with the show in any way other than probably growing up there?
Nope. Just lots of memories of going to it and seeing his dad. It was really neat talking to him about his just his experience having Biff as his dad. And
he's very, very
proud of it. And and we talk about hip hop and Letterman. We talk about all sorts of fun stuff. It's a great talk.
How on earth did you you're doing famous offspring of Letterman and Company now. How on earth did you get set up with Biff's son And are you trying to get Biff as well? Because that would be great.
Yeah. So it was through Dawn.
Oh, okay.
That's how that connection got made. But Jamie and I, we just connected. We connected on music and all these sorts of things. He knew I wanted to get his dad on, but he's like, my dad is not. He goes, I don't know if you know this or not, but my dad is not the most technologically sound individual. I'm like, yeah, I watched the show. And he goes, it's just like that.
I can't imagine him wanting to do it either. I mean, he of all of the people who knew to keep everything so close to the vest, Biff is such a good soldier, man. I mean, I love Biff with such a passion. Can I tell you why I love Biff? It happened on the air. I've loved Biff from the day one of me seeing him in the late night, like whatever. He's always been amazing. But Biff earned every bit of his Biffdom. You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I do.
What's her name?
Reese.
When Reese Witherspoon was on the show. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don could pull this up. He probably remembers the date and everything. When Reese Witherspoon was on the show one time and she kind of screwed up the entrance, you know, they were shifting from like just walking out to walking out through that archway and then around, and it was very awkward and stupid. I don't know why they all did it, but whatever the heck. And she came out a little clumsily, and Dave said, oh, what happened there? And she goes, I don't know. I guess Biff left me hanging. And Biff came out like, you motherfucker. and Dave, of course, he's like, Biff, what happened? And he goes, I guess she can't follow directions. And everyone's like, whoa! And Dave's like, Biff, you don't mean that. And he goes, that's what I said, isn't it? And he walked off. He was like, fuck you, Hollywood. You're not going to throw me under the bus. I'm a union guy, and I've been doing this job for 30 years. I know how to get you out on my stage. And if you fucked it up, it's on you. And I loved it. I loved it. It was the best. It was the best. Although my favorite moment, I think, would be the night they were cutting the pants off and Ray Romano was there. There was a bunch of people that were cutting pants off, maybe Norm MacDonald. And at one point, they were doing it during the break, and Biff had the scissors. And then I don't know what the hell happened, but we were back from the break, and Biff didn't realize it. And he just stepped back, threw the scissors on the floor, and walked away. And it was hilarious because Dave was like, what the hell was that? Biff, did you quit? You know, what the hell? I love Biff. I'm sorry. All right, I got a little excited there. I know.
So the goal, just to answer your question. That's funny. The goal would be to have Biff and Jamie on at the same time. So our logic, his and my logic, was, okay, well, let's do an episode then. And he's going to show it to his dad. And then hopefully we get them beside each other.
Awesome.
In a future episode. So, yeah.
We had, speaking of famous relatives and offspring, we had, you're not the first one to do this, so I'm not making fun of you. We had Victoria Lily Schaefer on.
Yeah.
Paul Schaefer's daughter.
Yeah, totally.
So I totally get it.
Yeah, although I'd have her on too. Makes sense.
You should have her on. I mean, much like Biff, she grew up going there, you know?
Yeah.
The night I met Paul Schaefer personally, like in my life outside the show, she was in her mom's belly. Aww. Kathy was pregnant. Yeah, it's wild. And then did you know that her mom has MS? Paul's wife has MS?
I didn't know that Kathy has MS, no.
I didn't know that until she was sitting here. Victoria Lily was sitting here talking to us. I had no idea.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. I saw her the night I watched Paul play in New York. She was at the early show.
Oh.
And I watched her kind of walk out and walk by, and that was about it. But very graceful.
Yeah.
That was my take.
It's so weird because I remember the night her birth was announced on the show. So yeah. It's weird. I remember her. She was in mom's belly at Lou Soloff's house at his Halloween party. Like, I remember that. And then I remember the announcement on the show. So we all felt, you know, this, the late night baby. But then she comes here and she's a beautiful woman. She's totally, it's ridiculous. I never planned on getting old. I thought I would die young. So every single day I'm discovering things with these wide eyes. That Biff Reese story, respect. Amen, brother. Amen. Shout out to Biff frickin' Henderson.
My favorite Biff Henderson moment, and this is where Jamie and I, like, I just said, they should make t-shirts. And yeah, that's a good idea. And I said, if I made a t-shirt of Biff, it would be Happy Newish Jew Year. And he started laughing. He thought that was, one of the funniest. I love that moment.
That was a good one. And sleep.
Yeah. Love that.
Was that? No, I think it was later because we talked about that. They shot the pre-tapes with the old set.
That's right.
And then by the time they aired it, it was the new set. So when Biff crashes on the chairs, it's the new set.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the card. This was What the Fuck Without Marc Maron. Tonight is September 14th, 2005. It was so good. It was so good. Don, is that up anywhere? Has anyone ever uploaded that? I know you can't do it, but I'm just curious. It's so worth it. And I don't think The Late Show would republish it because it's kind of a moment. Like, they don't want to be rude to the guest. It's kind of a thing. And they liked Reese Witherspoon. She was on all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But goddamn, that day was so good. I always wanted to talk to Biff one day to get... I don't think he would talk about it either publicly for the same reason of not saying something bad about her. But in the moment when it was actually happening and he was on television and he was basically defending his job...
It was a good moment for the show.
Oh, no. Yeah, never mind. I was trying to remember what the Reese Witherspoon connection was. It wasn't her couch. You had Renee Zellweger's couch, but your ex was, yeah.
I went on the last date with him before they got married.
But they just broke up again, so.
They got to, yeah.
Hey, you win. I mean, you made it longer. Then. The auction, we did all that. Road trip. We're leaving soon. Yep. We should have a car that is able to drive tomorrow, which means I don't know if we'll be here Thursday. We've got to get some of these other cars that were loaners out of the way and get them back where they need to go in other places. And then we'll have room for our cars. I think that's it. Well, I had sent it privately to someone. I forgot who. Was it Reese? God, it was so good. It was so good. And I tell you, you know, it sounds like I'm embellishing. I guarantee I'm not doing enough. He was more pissed off and it was more obvious. And it was funnier and more awkward than I'm making it out to be.
Really refined, though. Like, he didn't give it away. You had to know there was beef, but I totally get it.
When Biff got salty, you don't mean that. Salty.
That's what I said. Yeah,
so
he was insulted.
Funny.
Also, fuck her. You can take a wrong turn, but don't blame it on Biff. I'm sure he told you exactly what to do. I love Biff podcast here on the Don Giller Fun Time Happy Hour. All right.
I believe that we have, I think that's her reaction. I don't know if you can see that or not. If that's.
It's almost not blurry.
Come on. Come on, you son of a bitch.
Oh. I mean, again, it'll just be a photo of it, but.
Well, it's her reaction. She's got this look on her face, and I think it's right after Biff said something.
Oh, right. All of that happens. It's definitely a back and forth. She's in the middle, but she started it. All right. Tomorrow, I don't know what we're doing. We're trying to figure our own life out and trying to put things away so we can figure the rest of it out. Should have been doing this the whole night, but where's the button for that? There we go. No, that's not it. Look at that. Wow, from the old days. Here it is. All right. We know that you have many options for your viewing entertainment. Thank you very much for choosing our show. This show is brought to you by the Autoimmunity Foundation. The AIF is supported by viewers like you. If you would like to learn more or to please make a financial contribution, to keep us on the air, we would appreciate it. Go to autoimmunityfoundation.org.
Autoimmunityfoundation.org. Autoimmunityfoundation.org.
Autoimmunityfoundation.org.
Today.
Thanks, everyone.
We appreciate it, too, because we didn't get to do the Porsche 75 for 75 like we intended, so... We're thinking now that this becomes an Autoimmunity Foundation fundraising trip. So everywhere we go, we're just going to be talking about the Autoimmunity Foundation because we can't not talk about Nicole and the wheelchair and everything else. It's just sort of, we roll to town in this yellow sports car and then we stop and it takes us 5 minutes to get out because of all the stuff. And then we sort of make sense to people. So, yeah, I guess this is going to be a fundraiser. Fundraising trip.
Good idea.
There'll be more to come on that. But we are coming to your town. Get your checkbooks ready. Of course, we accept all sorts of digital currency as well. PayPal, Venmo. I don't know how it works through the website, but GoDaddy. That maybe news going to happen. Congratulations. Still can't say what it is. But we'll be there in 2 weeks to help you celebrate, Dons. Adam Ferrar is doing stuff. Byron Bowers will be at Breakfast Club on Friday. His article in Type 7 just went live today. Type 7 is a Porsche magazine. It's online as well. You can just follow them on Instagram if you want to read it for free. Excellent article with a lot of photos when he took his dooted up Cayenne safari truck up into the snow. Up at Newcomb's that time, right before we all couldn't get there for 6 months.
I remember that.
So that that article's live. Dual Shift is where you get all your GBBC stuff. You got your shirts. You got your sticker packs. You got your... That's a hat. I said shirt. It's a hat. Damn it. There's all sorts of stuff. We're lousy with stuff here. Look at all this stuff. Woo-hoo! All right. We're lousy. Oh, that's not there at all. Here, we'll put it over here. There we go. And 111 stuff. And that's all available from Dual Shift. If you want to get yourself some Letterman gear, there's only one place to do it. Officially licensed Letterman Late Show with David Letterman merchandise is available at the Hello Deli. Rupert G. and the Hello Deli. Look at that mug full of pencils. I don't think you can get the pencils, but the mug for sure. And you're going to need two. You got to have two mugs. Everybody knows that. Go to Hello-Deli, say hello to Rupert, place your order today, and while you're there, say hi for Nicole, because...
I cannot.
Yeah. We love that joke. Oh, Los Angeles. This is an LA one. I thought I didn't have one of those. Sorry. Not for you. Well, my personal one that was my favorite shirt that I owned... We wrapped up Meow Meow in when she passed away, and then she went and got cremated in that. So
I heard you say that.
It was the softest rock and roll. So this is the show one, and now I have a San Francisco shirt, which isn't nearly as soft or nearly as
it's
my favorite.
Not.
Shout out to Meow Meow. God, I love that cat. 2 months without her. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it's been that long already.
It bums me out, but it's also like, wow, kind of amazing. 24 years.
Yeah. I haven't yet digested life without her.
No. I'm still both looking for her, waiting for her to pinch it, and then, or like trying not to step on her. Like when we're on the floor or whatever, she's usually around me.
Me too. Every time I see anything out of the corner of my eye, I think it's her.
Me too, yeah. 2 months in. All right. Wah, wah. Well, we love everybody. Thanks for loving us. Great night. Thank you. Hey, Jay Franzi. Hey! we love everybody. Please love one another. I would like to say this. Usually, we're asking you for stuff, but if there is anything that we, even Mike too probably, can do for anyone who watches this show, if you are in need, I don't know what we could possibly do for you. We have our own struggles, but we do know a lot of people, and sometimes the best way to get out of your funk is to help someone else, I've found. And even offering can sometimes fulfill the same thing as actually doing something. Telling your friend you'll help them move is sometimes just as good as helping them move. not really, but you know what I'm trying to say. So if there's anything anybody out there needs, an introduction, somebody's looking for a job, or you want to letter of recommendation. I don't know what it could be. You want to learn how to do something that we know how to do, or something for your car, or I don't know what your problems are. You figure it out. Let me know. But we would love to do something for you, whoever you are. That's right. So send me a message if we can do something for you, and we want to. Right?
Yeah.
Or her, or Mike. Goes for all of us.
It does. Definitely.
All right. We love you. Have a great night. See you out there. Uh-oh. Here we go. Here we go. Yep. Don Giller, dream about Kitty? I used to with mine. Yeah, for sure. Not lately, but the first couple weeks, a lot. I'm also convinced she came back to me and told me I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, we had that moment where it was like a weird out-of-body kind of a... And she was like, yeah, you don't have to worry. All good. And we were like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Still miss her, but...
Every time you post a photo, I immediately burst into tears, but I know that's her being like, I'm fine.
I mean, the one today, of course, with you guys on the floor. I mean, she was like 2 days from death.
Yes, but we talk whenever you post anything, and I just automatically am crying. She's like, you're fine. I'm okay.
Got it. So you still go there, but then she kind of talks you off the ledge a little
Yeah.
bit. Oh, that's beautiful. All right. Love to Don Giller. Thanks for joining us on the Don Giller Fun Time Happy Hour. We had a blast hanging out with you. And we'll see you all maybe on Thursday, but it would just be to say goodbye, I think. I don't plan on leaving tomorrow, but we could leave Thursday, maybe. Whatever. Maybe we'll see you Thursday. Good night, everybody. Mike, we did everything, right? You got your plug.
We did everything.
We're good. Good night,
everybody. Good night, everybody.